Ek wil miskien net 'n bietjie terugvoer gee van klein Danieltjie, van die wat julle wat nie weet nie, hy was bietjie siek geweest en hy moet nou chemo kry, maar môre is die 6de week en prys die Here, hy lyk regtig goed. Hy lag en hy speel en hy hardloop en ek kan sy maag uitsuig. Dis regtig amazing en ons lag verskriklik baie. Môre is die dag 6. En hy het nog nie hare verloor nie. Hulle het gesê 2 tot 3 weke en dan gaan hy nie meer hare hê nie. En hy's nie naar nie. Hy gooi nie op nie. So nou en dan is hy bietjie naar. So dankie vir almal wat bid. Prys die Here vir julle almal. The message that I want to bring this morning is I've called it the number of grace, but the number of grace is number 5. So my message is not really a message about grace, but it's more about 5, that God has been speaking to us about 5 quite a lot, the 5 foolish virgins and the 5 wise ones, and I'm going to share Leviticus 26 about 5 as well, that I believe that God is giving to us. And this morning, the word that I believe the Lord has given to us is a more prophetic word for us as a congregation and where God is taking us as a church. And there's a lot of things that I want to touch on, so I'm not going to go into depth in anything, but I just want to just bring the concept before you. And some of it we've been looking at, some of it we'll probably be looking at in the future as well, because I really believe this is a word from the Lord. But when we read in 1 Samuel 17, the story about David and Goliath, that they were together in the valley of Elah, and the Philistines were at war with the Israelites. And Goliath, this massive giant, 3 meters tall, that's still higher than that, came for 40 days, twice a day, in the morning and in the afternoon, and he would challenge the Israelites to war. But they were just too afraid of this massive man. None of them would want to war against this man. And then David, as a young boy, came and he saw what was happening, and he just couldn't take this. And I think the Spirit of God just stirred him so much that he said, I will fight this giant. And they said, you can't fight against him. And he said, but I have overcome. I fought a bear and I fought a lion, and the Lord came through for me. He will come through for me again against this lion. And then in 1 Samuel 17 verse 40, he says, he looked for 4 smooth stones and he put it in his pouch. And for 5 smooth stones, 5 of them. Have you ever wondered why he took 5 stones? And why the Bible says he just didn't take stones? Why did he take 5 stones? And I believe I have the answer to that this morning. And then when they gave him King Saul's armor, and he realized he can't walk in another man's anointing. He can just walk in what the Lord has given to him. So he took his sling and his stones, and he challenged Goliath. And Goliath says, am I a dog that you come to me with a stick and with stones? And then he said to Goliath, you come with me with a sword and a javelin and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel. And today I will overcome you, I will kill you, I will cut off your head, and the birds of the sky and the beasts of the land will eat your flesh, so that the world will know that I am a God, that the God that we serve is a living God. And that all of the assembly may know that the Lord saves not with a spear and a sword, but that the battle is the Lord's, and I will give you in my hand. And he ran to him, and he took that one stone, and he threw it against his head. Goliath died. He fell down. David took his sword, and he cut off his head. He took the head, and the victory was Israel's. Now, why did he take 5 stones if he was so confident that one stone can kill Goliath? Now, I believe the answer is in 2 Samuel 21 and also in 1 Chronicles 20. But it talks about these other giants that they had to fight against. They said that there was war against between the Philistines and Israel, and David together with his servants went to go and fight against them. Then the one giant wanted to kill David, and one of his men came and he killed that giant. And then there was the 4 others, the one at 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, and he was overcome. It's also these massive giants that was overcome. And they were family of Goliath. And then in 2 Samuel 21 verse 22 says, these 4 were descended from the giants in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Now, I believe David took 5 stones because he could see the 5 giants of the Philistines. That he was just ready, that if they must come, he's got enough stones that he can kill all of them. That's what I believe. That was the heart of David. He was just so confident in who God is that he picked up 5 stones. And it's also a prophetic word that he picked up 5 stones for this giants. And this morning, I believe that we are facing 5 giants as well as a church, as a congregation, that we must overcome. And the first one is religion, pride. I've preached about that, deception, complacency, and lawlessness. And but that God has given us an anointing, 5 stones to overcome these 5 giants. So religion, we've talked a lot about religion, the spirit of religion, but it's just that place where there's strongholds in our mind that because of traditions that came over hundreds of years, that we don't look at what the Word of God said that comes over thousands of years, that's been from the beginning, that we look at what our traditions do and we hold it higher to what the Word of God says. In Mark 7 verse 8 says, you leave the commandment of God and hold on to the tradition of men. And in verse 13 says, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down. It's just that place where people, there's a veil over your eyes and you feel that I've been brought up in a certain way. I can't maybe worship in a certain way. That we don't look at how God wants us to do, but we look at how we've been brought up. And this is that mindset that I believe needs to change. The second one is pride. And pride is that thing where you always look at what other people have, what other people are doing, and you're always comparing yourself to other people. I really believe that is pride in our hearts. And if someone is worse off than you, you sort of feel good about yourself. And if someone is better off than you, you want to work harder so that you can be better than that person. That is pride. And Proverbs 16 verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Now, I really believe that is one of the other giants because God says, I will resist the proud. The third one is deception. And I think with deception, we all are deceived in a way. We all see in part and we will only see the fullness of who God is when we go to heaven one day. But there's also a place where we just are hungry to come before God, that we don't get deceived. And you know, when we will never stop preaching grace because that is from the Lord. God loves us. But if you only preach grace all the time, they can come to a place where Rob Bell, I don't know if you've heard of him, but he says there is no hell. That doesn't matter what you do, you will never go to you won't go to hell because there's no hell. Doesn't matter what God you serve, you'll never go to, there's no hell. So you don't have to worry. Basically, you can do what you do because of God's love for us. And I was in Kum a few days ago and I just scanned through his book. There's a lot of scriptures that he quotes from the Bible. So there's just, we must just be careful that we're not getting deceived. In 2 Corinthians 11, it says, I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and a pure devotion to Christ. So what I believe a deception is that we must just focus on Jesus, that we don't get deceived by various different doctrines, and that we focus on the Word of God. Now, the one that I believe is the Goliath that we first need to face is the one that Dion also spoke to you about, complacency. And Corbus came with this word, and we started praying a lot through this. And the difference between complacency and compassion. Complacency is that place where I'm fine because nothing bad is happening to me. And I see Mel and Albert is here, and they just came back from Malawi. And they said in the middle of the capital of Malawi, there's riots and it's really dangerous. But just around the corner, there's the villages, everyone is safe. They don't even know about the riots happening in the capital. And I think we are many times like that. There's war around us, but because me and my household is fine, we are complacent. And just that word that Dionne just said, that complacency and comfort goes together, but that compassion and commitment goes together as well. But I also just want to say, don't become committed and get so busy with the things of God that you don't get to be with the God of things. That what we do is that we do because God His Spirit is leading us to go in that route. That we don't do all these things for the Lord and therefore neglecting family. I think that's also this, something that I need to say about that. But if you have compassion for people, your heart will be to bless them. This article that I found, I just want to read you this one section. But this guy said, from bondage, we grow into spiritual faith. And from spiritual faith, we grow into great courage. From great courage, we grow into liberty, or that freedom. And from this freedom or liberty, we grow into abundance, abundance in the Lord. And there's many people who's been Christians for a long, long time, and they've received the abundance of who the Lord is. And from that, they've grown complacent. And out of complacency comes apathy, and out of apathy comes dependence. And from dependence, you will go back into bondage. And I believe it will be even more difficult for you to come out of that bondage once you've received the abundance of who God is. If you've come to that place of a full abundance of God, and you've grown out of that into a place of complacency in apathy, and then fall back into bondage, it will be very difficult for you to break through that stronghold. And then the fifth giant that I believe that God wants to destroy is lawlessness. 1 John 3 verse 4, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practice lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. And then Matthew 24 verse 12 says, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. We see the riots all over in London, and we see what's happening in Libya. And he preached about it last week, about the lawlessness that's happening. I mean, we drive over red robots. We don't pay our traffic fines. There's so much lawlessness in our society that I'm definitely guilty of. And I really believe that's something that God wants to change in our hearts. Just that place where we don't honor authority above us as well. We just want to do what we think is the right thing. Because God speaks to us, therefore I will do what I want to do and not what authority above us will say. And God will many times speak through us, through authority, to see if we can submit to what he is saying. But the word that I believe God has gave us as a church is the following in Leviticus 26. I'm just going to scan through verse 3, that if we walk in his statutes and observe his commandments and do them, God will give us the rain in a season. He will yield his increase, and the trees shall yield their fruit. And in the time of the great harvest will go into the time of sowing, and there will always be bread on the tables, and our land will be secure, and there will be peace in our land, and no harmful beast will come, and the sword will not come through the land. And then you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before by the sword. And in verse 8, 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000, and your enemies shall fall before the sword. And then I will turn to you and make you fruitful and multiply you, and will confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat old store long kept, and you shall clear out the old and make way for the new. I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. But I really believe God is taking, he wants to take five, also this revelation that I want to share with you, that he wants to take, and he wants to grow us into 100 people who are full on for Jesus. And that 100 will bring 10,000 people whose lives have been changed completely. And those people who God is blessing like that will be fruitful, and they will be multiplied because God's blessing that is on them. I really believe that is the word that the Lord has been giving us as a church. There's 5 that will overcome 100. That our heart is outward focused to go out and reach that 100. And that 100 will go and reach out the 10,000 to bring them to the fullness of, to know that place where the fullness of God is. Now, the 5 revelations, or the 5 rocks that I believe God is wanting to show to us, or to reveal to us, is first that the Lord is our righteousness. And I believe that will overcome lawlessness. The second was the Lord is peace, and that will overcome pride. The Lord is my banner, will overcome deception. The Lord is our healer, will overcome religion. And then the Lord, our Father, will overcome complacency. So let me show you why I'm saying this. The Lord, our righteousness, or the Hebrew says, Jehovah Tetkenu, will overcome lawlessness. I believe that when we've received this revelation of who God is, it will be men and women who understand family and covenant in family. They will look and protect the family. There will be families who will be healed, restored, affirmed, and they will validate their children. They themselves will be restored. There will be obedience among them. They will walk humbly before God, and they will have a respect for civil government, for authority that's placed in the workplace above them, and also for church authority. In Jeremiah 23, verse 6, God revealed himself to Jeremiah and says, "By this name I will be called, the Lord is my righteousness." But then why I'm saying the two goes together, in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership hath righteousness with lawlessness? What what fellowship has light with darkness?" That the two goes together. Righteousness and lawlessness are opposite to one another. And if we focus on the righteousness of God, God will start doing a work in us so that the lawlessness will be destroyed. So we don't look at the giant, but we look at who God is. And all these things, when we look at who God is and the righteousness of God, and we allow God to start bringing us to righteousness, because we are righteous by the blood of Jesus. But there's also a work that we become righteous before the Lord. 1 John 3 verse 4 says, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practice lawlessness." So if there's still sin in your life, there's still lawlessness in you. Sin is lawlessness. And in verse 7 says, "Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous." So this morning, that if you struggle with sin, just come before God. Say, "Lord, I'm struggling with this sin. I repent. I want you to make me righteous." In that place, God will overcome this giant of lawlessness. The second one is, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Shalom is the Hebrew for it. That will overcome pride. And pride is one of those things where we are not happy with where we are. Because you want to better yourself. You want to be better, but you don't have ease with who you are. There's the peace of God is not in your life. And I believe that in this revelation, we will not be anxious, because we know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts in Christ Jesus. That these people will put their trust completely in God. And it doesn't matter what your neighbor is doing. You know where you are now is where you need to be. That's where God wants you to be. But you also have a hope that God wants to prosper you and do good things for you. But you're not uneasy in that place. You're not unhappy with where you are, because you know where you are is where you need to be. You have the peace of God that is protecting you. But that you're also willing to fight for that peace. And I think this morning that I believe in Judges, when God revealed himself to Gideon, he revealed himself as Lord is peace. I just want to share this with you. Judges 6 verse 12, "The angel of the Lord," which is Jesus, "appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, a mighty man of valor.'" Then verse 16 says, "The Lord said to him, 'But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man.'" And then 23, "But the Lord said to him, 'Peace be to you. Do not fear, you shall not die.'" Then 24, "But Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, 'The Lord is peace.'" Gideon was prepared, had to go and fight for peace to come. And I think this is sometimes where we can fall into complacency, because we think we are in the peace of the Lord, but we're not in the peace of God, and then we become complacent. Matthew, God says the peacemakers will be blessed. I can't remember. It's not the peacekeepers, but those who are prepared to make peace. Sometimes we have to go to war for peace to come. In the Second World War, there was many people who didn't stand up in time before Hitler could come, because they wouldn't confront what he was doing, that what was wrong, for peace to come. Sometimes we need to go to war. And this is not war against people. This is just war in the spirit. For me and Lynette, when we were going through this tough time and we knew that Daniel was getting sick, we had to fight this fight in the spirit before we could come to that place where the peace of God was just starting to guard our hearts and minds. So this is, these people will, even though they put their trust in God, they know they are still and know that who God is, but they are willing to fight for that peace of God. And that we will be willing to clothe ourselves with humility so that because God opposes the proud and give grace to the humble. Then the third one is the Lord is my banner, Jehovah Nissi. I believe that will overcome deception. As we make God's name great, we enter into the presence of God. And just what Robert said this morning as well, that place of worship where we can come freely before God, to come and worship God and not go off after different doctrines, but we really come in that place to worship God. I really believe that place is where people will be drawing near to God, drawing near to who God is, where God will just come and take this deception away from us. This person who have received this revelation of God is my banner will look after the weak. They will protect the weak. They will look after the young and will look after the cold, because the old, because they run with the banner of the Lord in front of them. That they say, as in Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, "For us a child is born, for us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and the name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forward. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." It's also in Daniel 4 verse 3 that, as Daniel says, that how great are his sons, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. And you know, this morning when we were praying, and I just want to thank that small group that came to pray, and all that being that was so blessed to have this challenge cell group to say, "We're going to pray, all of us going to pray." And it was just so amazing to see the commitment that they have. But when we prayed, it is just saying that for deception as well, we must start discipling people. People get deceived because they're not discipled properly. They get saved, and then we leave them. And it's like a baby that doesn't grow. And the word that Dion just gave there was like a child that become retarded because his mind didn't grow with his body, because they weren't discipled properly. And I think that is such a beautiful description of what happens if someone just gets saved and no one disciples them properly to come to the fullness of who the Lord is. Then the fourth one is the Lord is our healer. Jehovah Rapha will overcome religion. Because you can't stand, religion can't stand where God does a mighty work. If someone was dead and you prayed for that person, now that person is alive, you can't be religious in that. If someone's leg grown, you can't be religious with that, where the power of God is shown. It just freaks religion out. And I really believe this is where, when Luke 5 says the power of the Lord was with him to heal. In 1 Corinthians 2 says, "Your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You know, we many times people just focus so much on ideas and doctrine, but we only get changed when the power of God, when God is changing ourselves, like what Robert just said, what happened last Sunday at their church. That's when people get changed, when they get touched by the living God. Then you can't argue about that, because I've been touched by God. There was this one guy, his name was Puni. We did Foundations 3. He and I did many together. We were a fantastic team. You guys might know him. But he said when he got saved, he was on his knees, just closing his eyes, and his life changed completely. And then he felt someone put his hand on his shoulder and just touched him like this. And then he turned around to see who it was, and he couldn't see anyone around him. There was no one that stood, and he knows that God touched him that day, and that changed his life for the rest of his life. You know, sometimes just that place where the power of God comes and changes our lives. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5 says, "The gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." Now, the fifth revelation that I believe is the Lord is our Father. The revelation of Abba Father will overcome complacency. That there's a place, and I think this is where we probably need to start and trust God to break this open, where people don't understand that they are sons of God. And there's many hirelings in the church, because they are complacent. They don't believe. It's not about church, but it's actually about building the kingdom of God. That a son, it's like my brother-in-law. They've got three farms in Wellington, and they've got one farm in the Karoo, and another one in Yemal and Arde, and they've got houses all over the place as well. They're very well off. But the difference between him and the workers on the farm is he's a son. He probably earned more or less the same as some of the workers probably, but he has an inheritance. He knows that whatever work he does in this on this farm will be his one day. And the hirelings, the people that work for him, they don't know of it. They're only getting a they only know that they're going to get money for it. I just want to share with you this. Robert Hamill said the following: God is not a power or a principle or law, but he's a living, creating, communicating person, a mind who thinks, a heart who feels, and a will who acts, whose best name is Father. That this is the heart of the Lord. God's, he is our Father. He wants to change our lives. Romans 8 verse 15 says that we've received a spirit of adoption by whom we can call him Abba Father, and that we are children of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs, and we're heirs with God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. But the creation is eagerly awaiting for the revealing of the sons of God. And then Galatians 4 says that because we are sons of God, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts that we can cry out, Abba Father, that we're no longer slaves, but we are sons. Then heirs through God, that we're not slaves, we're not hirelings. We do what we do for the kingdom because we are sons. There's something that God wants to do through us because we're sons. He wants us to build the kingdom because we are sons. We are building our inheritance. It's not the church's inheritance. This is our inheritance. As we do and we labor in the kingdom, there's a blessing on us. And this is what I really believe, that this 5 will overcome 100, that God says, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will confirm my covenant with you. There's this place where sons go and build and sow and bring in the harvest because they are sons. It's their inheritance that they are working towards. John 10 verse 11 says, Jesus, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He is a hired hand. He who is a hired hand, he who is a hireling and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them up and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. The Father produces sons, not hirelings. So if we come to that place where we understand who God is, there will not be, we will not want to be complacent. Because we will have the compassion of who God is. There will be a commitment in our heart to build the kingdom of God, because that's the heart of the Lord. He says the harvest is ready. We must pray for the harvest to come in. There are so many people who do not know the Lord, who do not know Jesus. They're standing out there, but because we have a hireling mentality, they don't know about who God is. They can't see what God wants to do in their lives. So, I really trust that God will just come and do a new work in us. Where these five giants will be overcome with these five revelations of who God is, so that the kingdom of God can come through what God has intended for us, that the kingdom of God will come through us. I just have this one song that I want to play. If you can just close your eyes and just listen to the word, if you guys can come forward.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God.
Just want to worship you this morning. Can we just stand, Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We just want to thank you, Lord, for who you are, Lord, that for the revelation of who you are, Lord. Yes, Father, thank you that you're just saying to us this morning that you want to reveal your righteousness to us, Lord. And Lord, that we can walk in that place, Lord, that we know we're righteous, Lord, that you are holy, Lord, and that we can walk in that place, Lord, because you've paid the price on the cross already, Lord. That we don't have to be stuck in bondage, Lord, but you've paid the price so that we can be set free, Lord. Yes, Lord, thank you, Lord, that we can have peace, that you will reveal the peace of you to us, Lord, that we will not be anxious for anything, Lord, but there will be a peace of God that surpasses all understanding, Lord, that will be guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, Lord. And Father, thank you, Lord, that you will reveal that you are our banner, Lord, that we will worship and scream the name of Jesus wherever we go, Lord, that we will praise your name, Lord, that we will stand with holy hands in the air, Lord, and make your name great, Lord, for people to be changed and touched, Lord, in the presence of God, because your presence is there, Lord, because you are almighty God, Lord, and that you are our banner, Lord, and doesn't matter where we go, Lord, we will not be shy, Lord, to shout, Lord, that you are King, Lord, that you are the Lord of Lords, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your healing power, Lord. Lord, there's that place where we can stand and know that you want to come and do massive healings and miracles in our lives, Lord, because we uphold your name, Lord, because we know who you are, Lord, that we don't look after the wisdom of men, Lord, but we trust in the power of God. And Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you are our Father, Lord, that you're our Father, Lord, and that you love us, Lord. Lord, that you have a heart, Lord, to come for each sheep that is lost, Lord. That if that one sheep is missing, you will leave the others, Lord, to go and fetch that one, Lord. And Father, we just want to pray, Lord, for every sheep that's been lost, Lord, that we will go and find them, Lord, that we will not be complacent, Lord, and not say, but it's their own choice, Lord. They've decided to walk away, Lord, but we will pray for them, Lord. We will be after them, Lord, until they're back in the flock, Lord, because you say that you one shepherd, Lord, and you have one flock, Lord, and you want all to be together, Lord, that we also as churches, Lord, will not compare one another, Lord, but we will love one another, Lord, that we will come to that place, Lord, because we're all your sheep. Thank you, Jesus, that we can have a focus on you, Lord, and your righteousness, Lord. And you say that all these things will be added unto us, Lord. That the harvest is ready, Lord. That you want us, Lord, to just come to that place of being sons of God because of the love that you have for the people out there, Lord. Because you have such a heart. Maybe if you want to respond to that and you just say, Lord, reveal those things to me. If you can just raise your hand. I'm not going to call anyone forward. We can just ask that you raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Father, thank you, Lord, for those hands, Lord, that it was five hands, Lord, that put their hands up today, Lord. But you say, Lord, that five will overcome 100, and 100 will overcome 10,000, Lord. And, Father, that you say that you will multiply us, Lord, and we will be fruitful in what we do, Lord. Lord, you don't need hordes, Lord. You just need five, Lord, in Jesus' name. We just want to thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for five, Lord. Thank you that you've given us five, Lord. Lord, that the five will stand, Lord, because you have called us, Lord, for a time such as this, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you.